Let us open now our Bible and turn with me in the letter of Paul to the church in Philippi, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we'll read the entire chapter. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, for me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind, or those things rather which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Thus far we read the infallible, inherent word of Jehovah. The text this morning, beloved, is verse 20 and verse 21 of Philippians chapter 3. I'd like that, to read them again before you. Verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Beloved, I have a particular sermon in mind, but last minute I've changed my mind and present or give this sermon rather this morning. I have prepared a sermon in relation to the conference that held this last week. But now I changed my mind, but rather to give this sermon in relation to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the celebration of that last Sunday. And thought of this particular verse that we will look today, this morning, as we continually rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has risen from the dead, reigning in power and glory, sitting there at the right hand of God for us, for our good. We would like to look at perhaps the implication or the fruit of his work in that great, great blessing of our salvation in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has risen from the dead, and we understand that it is for our good. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead for our justification. And that we understand the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross earned our redemption from sin, from death, from hell, and from Satan. We understand that he reconciled us to God and made us sons and daughters of God. He made us heirs of the promised eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us an access to God's throne of grace, an unlimited supply of God's preserving grace upon us today. He made us, beloved, from being citizens of hell to being citizens of heaven. Former enemies of God, but now in the Lord Jesus Christ, he made us friends with our sovereign Father, with our sovereign God, in him and through him. He made us citizens of the kingdom of God, therefore, and to be with him forever in that kingdom. And therefore, we look at the future with great expectation of the coming again of our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will come again to usher you and to usher me into that eternal kingdom of God. And as citizens of heaven, it is expected of us to live as such. Take, for example, the animal kingdom. How would you expect a dog to live? You're not expecting a dog to say, tweet, tweet, tweet. He's a dog, but he will live like a dog. He will bark. That is nature. And us, as citizens of heaven, it is expected of us to live as citizens of heaven, as children of God, as sons and daughters of our living, sovereign, almighty Father in heaven. As citizens of heaven, we mind the things of God. We mind the work of God. We mind the purpose and goal of God in our life today. As citizens of heaven, we fix our eyes upon the hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again for us. As citizens of heaven, we fly to God. We come to God, we come to Him for help. For help, not in the first place, not in the things that we need perhaps in this life, but we come to God asking help that we might continually serve Him, that we might continually desire to know Him and to experience Him, as the Apostle Paul takes us in that light in this chapter in the book of Philippians. We come to God as citizens of heaven to fight sin, to fight corruption in us, to fight temptation, to fight worldliness, to fight our weaknesses until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again for us. That's what citizens of heaven, that's what the sons and daughters of God desire in their life. To serve God, to magnify Him, and to glorify Him in all their walk and life in this world. So I would like to use that as our theme this morning in considering Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, citizens of heaven. And I have two main points in considering this particular verse or text. We need to identify, first of all, the citizens of heaven. Who are they? And upon knowing them, we need also to consider the encouragement that God gives unto them for their future. And that, therefore, the great expectation that God gives them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Citizens of heaven, who are they? And what their great expectation is. Who are the citizens of heaven, beloved? Paul identifies them in our text. Paul says in verse 20, For our conversation is in heaven. Who are they? Well, there is no doubt that the Apostle Paul refers to the saints, referring to the believers, referring to the Christians, the just, the faithful, the elect of God, our. We understand that because Paul includes himself, and he is a servant of God and a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we understand that the citizens of heaven now are all the saints, are all the believing people of God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But how are they made citizens of heaven? How are they become saints or Christians or believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? In order for us to appreciate that, we need to understand how God made us His sons and daughters. We understand that we are all like the unbelieving world, without God, without hope. But now in Christ, we are called the sons of God. We understand that we were sinners, and by nature, dead in sins and trespasses, and therefore children of the devil. But God has called us in Christ. He has called us unto Himself by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, for the sake of Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We were born again by the Holy Spirit and given the life of Christ, purchased on the cross, that we might live no longer aliens, but citizens of God's kingdom. Our. We were former citizens of hell, but now citizens of heaven. Former enemies of God, but now made friends with God. Former slaves of the devil, but now slaves of Christ. In the positive sense of the word, we are slaves of righteousness, holiness before God. We were former servants of the devil, but now made friends, servants of Jesus Christ. What the Holy Spirit is saying here, beloved, because Christ redeemed you, and that now you belong to Christ, your citizenship, your identity now is radically different from what it was before. We were like this, but now in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are made sons and daughters. We were former citizens of hell, but now in the Lord Jesus Christ, He made us citizens of heaven. The whole person is transformed. You are the same person, but the principles that lies now in your heart and mind is different. Before, you live under the power of sin, under the tyranny of Satan, but now you are living under the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. One reason He gave or sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us in order to work out those principles, the principles of God's Word in and through your life. Paul, here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says to every child of God, your life as a citizen of heaven is different from the citizens of the world. Now we need to understand, where is that word citizen, Pastor? I don't see that in the text. King James translated that word conversation in verse 20. But in the original, it is really citizen, for our conversation is in heaven. Literally, that word is used as citizen. And by that, we understand one's place of origin, or a location from which a man resides, or the location he is originally from. In my case, I am originally from the Philippines, coming to the United States, standing before you right now. That's the idea. And the word conversation fits in that idea. The conversation referring to the life or lifestyle of a person that comes from another place in that nation or in that particular location. And therefore, Paul tells us that the lifestyle of the citizens of heaven is different from the lifestyle of the citizens of the world. A citizen of another country is called a foreigner. And that word, beloved, is not a negative word, but it only describes somebody who is not from us and therefore not one with us. As far as language is concerned, I am from the Philippines and I have my own language or dialect. And you are here in the United States and you have your own language that you use. As far as clothing is concerned, as far as the food that we eat, as far as religious persuasion that we are surrounded of, as far as traditions or culture, as far as lifestyle, that's why Paul used that word, or the King James, rather, used that word, conversation. Lifestyle, mindset, aspirations, desires, or goals. A foreigner is different in that regard. And Paul used that analogy to drive home the point, to drive home the truth to all of us today, to the saints in Philippi, but also for us today, that we are foreigners in the world in which we live in right now. Paul is not referring to a nationality, that we have brothers here or sister here from another nation, from South Korea, from the Philippines, from Mexico. That is a national citizenship. But he is speaking in the spiritual sense of the word, being sons and daughters of the living God, that our citizenship corresponds to what God has called us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That our life now is radically different from what it was before. That's the idea. Now, the question that really we can ask at this moment is, how are we different from the citizens of the world? How are we differ from them? What's the distinction that God is making here as far as His sons and daughters are concerned and as far as the citizens or the people in this world, in this life? The text, beloved, begins with that preposition for. If you notice that, in verse 20, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And therefore, this ties up with the preceding verses. "For" tells us that there is a reason for something that God tells us. And that's how Paul begins verse 24. And in the preceding verse, really it connects to the preceding verses in from Philippians chapter 3. In verse 17, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example." Follow us and mark those who are following us. Mark those who are living in search and in pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the context. That's the context wherein Paul expressed that command. In verse 12, I already attain, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And he continues in verse 13, "I count not myself to have apprehended, and this, but this one thing I do." And this one thing that Paul does is to forget those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. And he expressed that in verse 14, "I press toward the mark or the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." What is that high calling? To become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. To live more and more into the image and likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the Apostle Paul pursues that kind of life. And then he commands the brethren in Philippi to follow him in that regard. And mark those in that congregation, wherever they are found, in the Philippines, in South Korea, in Mexico, here in the United States, in Canada, in Northern Ireland, or elsewhere in the world. Mark them. Mark them. And follow them as they follow this purpose that God has given us in this life, namely to pursue the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow them. That's the idea there. And in the text, therefore, that we are considering this morning, Paul is giving the reason for that command. Why am I going to follow them? Why am I going to mark those men and women in the church walking and pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the reason. Because you are a citizen of heaven. Because you are a child of God, a son and a daughter of God. That's the connection, beloved, in that those preceding verses. Because we can use that in verse 20, because you are a citizen of heaven. Therefore, walk as you are, live as you are, citizens of heaven. And now Paul describes the difference of the life of the citizens of the world in verse 18. Follow those who are living in the pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 17. And then contrasting that in verse 18 by saying, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." The church is surrounded with the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are many. Then he describes them in verse 19. The enemies of the cross of Christ, their end is destruction. He tells us that the enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, their God, is not the almighty, sovereign, creator, faithful, covenant-keeping God, Jehovah. But their God is their belly. And their glory is in their shame. These men and women who are the citizens of the world, they mind earthly things. That's the description Paul makes of the citizens of the world. And then he tells us in verse 20, not you, not us, because we are citizens of heaven. We are foreigners, regardless whatever your nationality is. If you are in Christ and with Christ and for Christ, you are a foreigner in this world. You are different because God made you different. You are His, and His Word is in you. His Holy Spirit has taken that Word. He has planted it in our hearts. He put it in our mind to understand it, to meditate upon it, and to know and to understand that, yes, I belong to Christ, and I live for Him. He doesn't exist for me, but I exist for His glory and for the service of His name. That's why I seek Him. I pursue Him. That's my intention. That's my aspirations. That is my desire. That's what I want. That's what I'm asking for God in prayer. And when I read His Word, that's what I am seeking. How can I more and more serve my Lord and my God, my Savior? That's my purpose in life as citizens of heaven. I look to Him for every help that I need in this life. For what? So I may know Him and witness Him and serve Him in every gift that He has given me, whether greater or lesser. It doesn't matter. I purpose to use everything that He has given me for His cause, for His kingdom, for His church, for His people. Citizens of the world are not like that. Those who are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not like that. Their God is anything that will make life on earth easy and smooth and pleasurable for them. Their God is everything that will make this life pleasurable and convenient for them. Their God is their belly. All they want in life is nothing but to satisfy the cravings of the flesh, to satisfy the cravings of their belly, to satisfy what they want, what not God wants for them, but what they want for themselves. They think nothing but to eat and to drink. In other words, they mind nothing but material things. And because they mind nothing but the things in this life, they work hard to get things they wanted, to make provision for every need they want, and to, in order to please the cravings of the sinful flesh. Paul takes us further than that. The glory is in their shame. They sin openly. And they don't stop there. They boast about it. Instead of being ashamed for their wickedness, they glory in it, proud for it. Look at what's happening in our society and in our country, not just in the United States, but all over the world. Look at what the lesbians and the homosexuals are saying and doing. Look at all these laws that are being implemented and legalized all over the world. Instead of being ashamed of legalizing abortion and divorce and anything that is cruel and wicked before God, they glory. They boast about that. And that's the idea here. Their glory is in their shame. And these people whose God is their belly and glory is in their shame, they mind nothing that has something to do with the knowledge of God. They don't know God. They don't want to know God. In fact, they want to kill God. They want to eradicate God. They detest that thought that there is a sovereign, almighty God who created them, that they must stand before Him and give account of themselves before this God. They don't like that. That's what Romans chapter 8 really tells us. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, first part of that verse tells us of that particular principle that Paul speaks about in Philippians 8, verse 5 tells us, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." That's natural for them. That is, the content and concentration of their heart and mind is upon earthly pleasures. It's upon the things of this life and nothing more. But now note the life of the citizens of heaven. Note the life that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 12 and following, they follow Christ. They pursue Christ. They desire to know Him, to experience Him. That's what Paul tells us in verse 10, that I may know Him upon being known by Him. Now the result of that knowledge of God in me is to know Him, to seek Him, to be under the power of His resurrection, and to be to have that fellowship of His suffering, to be made conformable even unto His death. Then there in verse 12 really tells us, I desire nothing more in this life but this one thing, to know my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to have Him, and to be indwelt by Him, to be filled with His power, with His life in my life. There is no surprise, therefore, why Paul tells us that I work hard for this. God is using the abilities that He has given me so that I may all the more thank Him and serve Him with it, not apart from it, but with it. Offering this body, these abilities in the service of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The citizens of heaven, they mind the things above. That's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 tells us. Even as we were risen with Christ, now my mind, my heart, my soul, my all person, look to Him. The things above and not the things below. Yes, I am here below, but my mind and my heart belongs in heaven. My heart and my soul is captured by the sweetness and the power of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I am here, yet breathing, yes. Living, yes. But I breathe and I live for Him. And to Him alone. That's our life. That's our calling as citizens of heaven. First part of Romans chapter 8, verse 5 really deals with the life of the citizens of the world. But understand that the second part of that verse deals with the life of the people of God here on earth. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the second part of that verse, Paul tells us, but they, look at the difference. Those who are not in the Lord Jesus Christ, the citizens of this world, they. But they, on the other hand, the citizens of heaven, hear how they live. Paul tells us, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. They mind the things of God. What will cultivate their faith? What will establish them continually in that same faith? And that is the knowledge of the grace and of the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beloved, God knows our struggles. God knows that we are surrounded and bombarded with temptations in this life. As foreigners of this world, we can become accustomed to the lifestyle of the citizens of the world. And because of your sinful nature and my sinful nature, we are inclined to think and live like the world, the locals, the nationals, the citizens of this world. We feel at home in this world, in this life. That's the struggle and the temptation we face. And God knows that. God knows that instead of persuading the people of this world, instead of coming out from them, we come to them and live like them. We enjoy their company, and soon we are enticed to every evil they do. We speak their language. We use their songs. And everything that is found in it. God knows this. God understands this. That's why He commands us. That's why He commands you and me to come out of them. Be ye separate. Paul reminds them, you are citizens of heaven. You don't belong here. You belong to Christ, both body and soul. Christ is in you, and you are in Christ, and therefore pursue Him. Do not pursue the world, but now pursue the Word. Pursue Christ. That's how he describes the life of the citizens of heaven. Beloved, this is hard for us. We understand that. That's why we are called to be reminded of this. God calls us to put this before us and to encourage us in this life. Paul takes us to what awaits you and me in the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's people, they need this encouragement from Him. And therefore, the Word of God encourages us to look with eagerness to what awaits us in the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. To understand that we are here temporarily, that we will not dwell in this world forever, but that we are so eager and looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He might take us with Him and dwell forever with God there in heaven. He gives us, and in that sense of the word, a great expectation of our future, a great expectation of what we can have in the future in this life, but what God has in store for us in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to us. That is our great expectation. It is ours now in the Lord Jesus Christ, but then we expect that to be realized in the future coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our eyes is upon that. And our hearts long for that. That's the word that Paul used. Eager. I am eager. Eager for what? Eager for the things of this life? No, eager that my Savior might come to me. And He will. He will. He promised that, and He will do it. That is the great expectation God gives us in this life. Verse 21 tells us, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working thereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. But before we consider that, notice in the text as well, or in the context, the end of the citizens of this world. Verse 19 tells us their end is destruction. All men and women who lived then and who are living today and will live yet tomorrow, who live in unbelief, who live in their disregard and obstinate disobedience to the Word of God, who died in unbelief, who died unbelieving in the Lord Jesus Christ, their end is destruction. They will reap the eternal condemnation of God in the lake of fire in hell. That's the end of the enemies of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But for us, as citizens of the heaven, it is different. It is radically different, beloved. The end of the citizens of heaven is glorious. God will transform our bodies. That's what Paul says. He will change our vile body, this humiliated body, this body of dust and ashes. God will transform it. He will change our earthly, corrupt, mortal bodies to a heavenly body. God will change our bodies and make it like that of the body of the Lord, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isn't that glorious, beloved? There, the word is used, this glorious, spiritual, heavenly body. God will give us that body like that of the Lord of Jesus Christ. Glorified body, fit for heaven. When will this expectation realize? Well, the text tells us that it's in the second coming of Christ. Looking in verse 20, it tells us we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it will be. But we don't know the exact date, of course, but the text gives us the certainty of that. He will come again and usher us into the eternal kingdom of God. When He comes, beloved, there He will fulfill this promise. The general resurrection will take place, both the elect and the reprobate. He will gather the reprobate and change their mortal bodies with bodies fit in hell. But it highlights the fact that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will come again and He will gather the saints in the world, the dead first, then the living, and He will clothe them and He will clothe us with a heavenly body fit for heaven. Now, also realize that Christ may come to you personally. We don't know when. We don't know whether we are still living when the time that Jesus will come publicly, His public appearance. But God may come to us personally too. And that is the second coming of Christ to you and to me in death. He might come to us via sickness, old age, but He will come. He will certainly come to us. But it is for our good, for our eternal good. And we are not afraid of it. But instead, we look forward to that coming of Jesus Christ. We don't dread that. We don't know what will happen, yes. But we know the end. It is a glorious end. We die and our soul comes to Christ and dwells with Him there until the time comes that He will come back and return for His church and take the church with Him in glory. We look forward to that. We look forward to coming home. There's no place like home, and we don't feel at home here. That's why after doing all the activities that we are used to do in our work, at home, or wherever we are, beloved, we say in our spirit, in our soul, there's nothing, there's no place like home. There's no place like being home with God in prayer. There's no place like home, home with God in the meditation of His Word, that we fill our hearts and minds with the promises of God, with the power of the gospel of Christ. And there we know and we understand that we don't belong here, that we will come home with God in heaven. We long for that. We long for that coming. Even as I long to come to my family again, but all of us as citizens of heaven, we long to come home with Christ to our Heavenly Father in heaven. We seek that. We desire that. We love that. We cherish that. That's why in some sense we pray, Maranatha. That means, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Realize your will. Realize your purpose. Realize your calling. That is to be with thee forever. The consummation, beloved, of that covenant of God that He established with us in Him and by Him and for Him. Because this is certain, it's like what Paul tells us here, though by implication, our hope, our joy, our peace comes in the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ again. You are excited. We are excited to see Him and to be clothed like His glorious body and dwell with Him forever in God's kingdom. And this is shown, beloved, in what we do today. Are you eager to see Him? I don't mean that you are eager to die. I'm not saying that. But you are eager to come to church every Sunday to see Him. You are eager, after you worked, come at home and have that supper and thank God for what He has given and what He has done and what He is doing for us. We are eager to come to our closet each day, to fellowship with Him, to talk to Him in prayer, asking Him, God, empower me tonight so that tomorrow I am strengthened, so that I may do Thy will and I may fix my eyes and long for the coming of my Savior, that I may see Him living in and through me, with the works of my hands, with the words of my mouth, with the things that I entertain in my mind. Let Him be glorified. And in that sense, Christ has come to you. We are excited with that. We grow strong in our expectation, beloved, through the meditation of God's Word throughout our journey with God in this life. We do not want to take every moment and every opportunity, as long as God wills us to do it, to come to every spiritual activities we have in the church or in the churches, so that we might continually know Him and really greater and greater expect His blessing of His return upon us and to us. We rejoice in that because we belong to Him. He made us citizens of heaven, and He did so for His glory and always for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give Thee thanks, O Lord, again for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this hour, in this day, we are reminded of who we are and what we shall become. We are His. We belong to Him. Former citizens of hell, Now in Jesus Christ, citizens of heaven, for thy glory and for his sake, strengthen us, O Lord, that we might live as citizens of heaven, seeking Christ, desiring him, to know him, to experience him, and to love him, strengthening this body so that we might serve him until he comes to us, until he returns again for thy church, and to dwell with thee forever there in thy kingdom. To change our vile bodies with that glorious, glorified body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and there enjoy thee, to enjoy thee forever, to praise and to magnify thee. Put that before us in this week, that we may go forth testifying and living and confessing that indeed we are citizens of heaven for Jesus' sake. Amen.